Radio Prague News. On a state visit to Israel, Czech President Miloš Zeman said it is the duty of the international community to fight terrorism. Former President Václav Klaus has launched his new book, The Czech Republic at a Crossroads. And ArcelorMittal Ostrava is to invest 1 billion crowns into the modernization of its steelworks. President Miloš Zeman met with his Israeli counterpart Shimon Peres on Monday at the start of a four-day state visit to Israel. The heads of state praised their country's above-standard relations and discussed the Middle East peace process. President Zeman said it is the duty of the international community to fight terrorism because negotiating with terrorists only made them stronger. Mr. Zeman described Israel as an island of democracy in the Middle East. The Czech president is also due to meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and is expected to deliver a keynote speech in Jerusalem. Former President Václav Klaus on Monday launched his new book, The Czech Republic at a Crossroads. The book is his fiercest criticism of the EU to date, in which the president claims the EU contributes to everything bad in Czech politics, society and the economy, and says the country cannot make a headway and effect structural changes unless it makes a radical cut and leaves the European Union. The country's leading Eurosceptic says the Czech Republic is now at a crossroads and has two options, either to try to reform the EU from within or leave its ranks. He said there was no reason to fear a clean break from Brussels, since such a move would be akin to the Czech-Slovak divorce. Trams would still run, water would still flow, and the lights would still shine, Mr. Klaus said. Czech industrial output increased by 1.6% year-on-year in August after an annual rise of 2.1% in July, the Czech Statistics Office reported on Monday. In month-on-month terms, seasonally adjusted industrial output was 4.7% higher, and the value of new contracts grew by 12.3% year-on-year. Industrial output in August followed July's growth that came after a two-month fall. The biggest annual growth was registered in the manufacture of motor vehicles, trailers and semi-trailers at 26.1%. ArcelorMittal Ostrava is to invest 1 billion crowns into the modernization of its steelworks. The investment should increase the quality of its products, expand the steelworks' production capacity and boost its competitiveness. According to the company's general director, Mittal wants to increase its exports outside of the European Union. Together with its daughter companies, ArcelorMittal employs 7,500 people. The police are pressing criminal charges against a number of firms involved in the corruption case around David Rath, the former governor of Central Bohemia. According to the internet news site iHNet, the police have charged 8 firms and 9 managers who were involved in manipulated public tenders. The police has not released the names of the firms implicated in the scandal. Companies convicted of breaking the law could be dissolved. A bailiff has been sentenced to 8.5 years in prison for abuse of office and theft of some 80 million Czech crowns. The bailiff misappropriated money paid by a debtor over several months, sending it to his own private account and investing it in his own business. He also received a 5-year ban on working in his profession or any other which would entail financial responsibility. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The start of the week should be mild and sunny, with afternoon highs reaching 19 degrees. Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Máša Valinský. Coming up in our program, Czech President Miloš Zeman is on an official state visit in Israel. We will also take a look at the latest news in the world of Czech sports. And later on, in one-on-one, we speak to a Czech-born professor and author, Markéta Göc-Stankevič, who emigrated from Czechoslovakia in 1948. Czech President Miloš Zeman is in Israel on a 4-day visit. On Monday, Mr. Zeman met with top Israeli officials, including the head of state, Shimon Peres. But even before the start of his visit, Mr. Zeman caused an uproar when he said the Czech embassy should move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Jan Richter reports.
Talks between Czech President Miloš Zeman and the Israeli head of state, Shimon Peres, were cut short on Monday as the host unexpectedly left to pay a visit to a former Israeli chief rabbi who was dying in hospital. Before Mr. Peres' departure, however, the Czech and Israeli presidents agreed that their countries enjoyed excellent relations. Mr. Zeman suggested Israel was an island of democracy in the Middle East and said fighting terrorism was the duty of the entire international community. Mr. Zeman on Monday also met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and might again see Israel's president later in the day. But the Czech head of state expressed his positive attitude to the Jewish state even before he arrived there. Last week, the outspoken President Zeman said he would ask the next Czech government to move the country's embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. In an interview for the Israeli daily Yediot Ahronot, President Zeman also suggested Palestinian refugees should not insist on their return to Israeli-occupied territories and could instead move to Saudi Arabia. Mr. Zeman's remarks, which contradict a UN Security Council resolution condemning the Israeli declaration of Jerusalem as the nation's capital, drew criticism from Palestinian groups, including Hamas. The head of the Palestine Liberation Organization said the comments could put the Middle Eastern peace process at risk and even called for an extraordinary session of the League of Arab States on the issue. The head of the Czech President's Office for Foreign Relations, Hinek Moníček, later said the comments had been taken out of context. But Prime Minister Jiří Rusnok admitted the president's remarks could temporarily worsen the Czech Republic's relations with Arab countries.
Určitě to může zkomplikovat některé záležitosti, ale...
This could certainly complicate certain issues, but I really would not overestimate it. I think the League of Arab States has other things to deal with than such comments.
Nechci věřit, že by se Liga arabských států neměla čím zabývat než takovýmito výroky.
Irena Kalhousová is an Israeli-based analyst for the Prague Security Studies Institute. She believes that the Czech president's remarks are unlikely to have an impact on how the Czech Republic is viewed in the Middle East.
After all, the Czech Republic is quite a small country from the European Union, and it simply, what the president says, it doesn't have any practical implications. So yes, it's causing emotions, positive, negative, that's true, but not any policy changes.
During his visit to Israel, Miloš Zeman is also set to meet Czech expats living in the country and visit several sites in Jerusalem. The Czech president also insisted on a brief trip to the Dead Sea, which is scheduled for Wednesday.
That was Jan Richter. To comment on this story, visit the Radio Prague pages on Facebook or Twitter. And since it is Monday, we now continue with the latest news from the world of Czech sports. Here's Ian Willoughby.
We begin today with ice hockey, and after 10 rounds of the domestic Extraliga, four clubs are on 19 points at the upper end of the table, with Pardubice ahead of Slavia Prague, Kometa Brno and Třinec in that order, thanks to superior goal difference. The East Bohemian club hit top spot after an away win over defending champions Plzeň on Sunday, with the score in that game 4-5 after penalties. Forward Lukáš Radil scored twice during the shootout to give Pardubice a 2-point win.
It's just brilliant. We're in form, we're scoring a lot of goals. It's still not working perfectly at the back, but it'd be very simple if we didn't have anything to improve. Naturally, I am pleased that I converted the two penalties. It's great.
Two of the teams on 19 points played each other on Sunday evening, with Třinec drawing level with Slavia after a 4-3 victory. That was Trinets's fourth win on the trot. Elsewhere, Sparta Prague lost on their own ice for the first time this season. Despite a hat-trick from Jaroslav Hlinka, they went down 4-6 to Vítkovice in the capital. Across the pond, Radek Dvořák may have only signed with the Carolina Hurricanes 2 days before the NHL started, but he's paying back the club's faith with two goals in two games. The veteran forward scored the decisive goal on Sunday in Carolina's first win of the season, 2-1 over Philadelphia. Jiří Hudler, meanwhile, is the most productive Czech in the league so far this season, with 2 goals and 2 assists for Calgary. The latter came on Sunday in a 4-5 defeat at the hands of Vancouver. Table tennis and the Czech women's team took a commendable bronze at the European Championships in Austria's Schwechat at the weekend. The Czechs earned the medal after making the semi-finals, where they lost 1-3 to the Germans, with their only win coming from Renata Štrbíková. Her teammate, Iveta Vacenovská, had soundly beaten European number 1 Victoria Pavlovich of Belarus in the previous day's quarter-finals. However, she was no match for Germany's Chinese-born Nan Ying.
The basic reason for our defeat was that I'd never played Nan Ying before. She has an entirely different style than Victoria, and that was decisive. The Germans confirmed my expectation that they wouldn't fear us and would select Nan Ying as their number one player, and she knocked us out.
Soccer and the Czech international squad have been gathering in Prague ahead of the final 2 games in their World Cup qualification campaign. That's away to Malta on Friday and away to Bulgaria on Tuesday. However, a more or less full-strength lineup will be playing for their pride alone, as they no longer have a chance of reaching Brazil. That's all the sports news for today.
Thanks to Ian Willoughby for that sports news. Just a reminder, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming from a mixed Czech-Jewish family, Markéta Gut-Stankevič did not have an easy life during World War II. But it was the communist putsch in 1948 that convinced her to leave her homeland for good. In today's one-on-one, Dominic Yoon speaks to the writer and professor about her life and work in Czechoslovakia and Canada.
My guest today is Markéta Goetz-Stankievic, a professor emerita at the University of British Columbia. Born in 1927 in the Czech town of Liberec, Markéta left Czechoslovakia following the communist putsch in 1948. She established herself in Canada as a professor of comparative literature, author and essayist, focusing in particular on publishing samizdat literature and also writing about the work of Czech playwrights such as Pavel Kohout, Josef Topol, Ivan Klíma, and her friend the former president Václav Havel. Markéta Goetz-Stankievic, it's a pleasure to have you here. Tell us about your early years growing up in Czechoslovakia.
I came from a small town, Mistek, na Moravie, in Moravia. I was kicked out school when I was about 13 and 14 because I am from a mixed family. My father was Jewish. He spent many months in 1944 and 45 in Terezin, but he was what you call a mixed marriage. My mother was not Jewish and I was a Mischenetz in Czech or Mischling in German.
How did the Nazis treat people who were mixed? Wasn't that like more that you were a person who had been contaminated by Jewish blood? Or weren't you like just as bad in their eyes?
Well, because I lived in a small town, I mean, there were neighbors, people in town who were afraid to come to our apartment. We had been kicked out of a bigger apartment, but in a tiny, small apartment. And not because they disliked us. That was, you know, Nazi ideology, which was resented very much by all Czechs. However, they didn't come because they were afraid themselves that they would be said, you went to see the family Goetz. Yes.
Yeah.
So we were rather isolated. And before I left school, the children were quite cruel to me. Now they call it bullying. But I just knew, even at the age of 13, 14, that my parents were the best people in the world. So I had the strength. And yet, we were all the time afraid.
And as a teenager under the Nazi occupation, you managed to get a job.
I worked for a photographer. I was apprentice, and that meant that I had to be there at 7:30 and take out the ashes out of the little stove and take them down and bring up the coal. And it was 7 days a week. who came to have their pictures taken. Mistek was a garrison town, and so apart from weddings or christenings, what have you, there was a garrison, and the soldiers came and had their pictures taken, German soldiers.
How did you personally feel about the Nazis?
I hated them, and they were just boys, you know, towards the end of the war. But then, every day, came heartbreaking letters from small Austrian villages. A lot of them were Austrians. Our beloved son Johannes has fallen on the Eastern Front, because they all had to have their picture taken before they went to the front. Will you please send us 25 small pictures and then five larger ones and frame them for us? And that's what I did then. And I looked at them. I remembered here and there one of them. And I thought, those kids, you know, and that somehow burned the hatred out of me.
You then went to a graphic school in Prague, just as the Nazi occupation was being substituted for the Soviet one. So tell me about that time and why your parents decided to leave the country as soon as the communists came to power.
Between 45 and 48, I went to the Grafitska Schola. The world seemed to open up to me, and life seemed to be beginning. But my parents said, we should go. My father's words were, we have been on the stage all our lives, comedy and tragedy. And now we will sit somewhere in the audience and watch what's going on stage. We left with $10 each. It was a very hard beginning, but I was thrilled to go. It was an adventure for me.
So you were allowed to emigrate legally? You didn't have any dramatic escape from Czechoslovakia?
Well, my father got a passport because he had been in the concentration camp. But my mother and I had papers which said a person of unknown origin who lives temporarily in Czechoslovakia is allowed to leave the country. My mother had exactly the same.
Did they know that it was a one-way trip?
Oh yes.
So they were happy to get rid of you because you were like a Jewish family and the communists were anti-Semitic as well?
Yeah, was also. And then we were a family, half Jewish, mixed family, and suspect in every way. We are always outsiders, or we are always in trouble.
In Canada, you also found work in photography before gaining a scholarship at the University of Toronto. So how did you then end up moving into literary criticism and the Czechoslovak underground scene?
We had an old friend in Mistek. Her son had a tremendous trouble with his hair. He was scratching, and apparently there was some medicine, some cream that she could use. So I went to my nice doctor here and I sent it, and this boy got healed. And now the friend wrote, what can I send you? I'm so happy. If so, send us, and this was already the beginning, 70s, in the 60s, during the thaw, 63 to 68, books were, little paperbacks were published. They were called Divadlo, and the playwrights, whom we mentioned before, were published in Czechoslovakia. And of course, all this finished in 1968, and she sent me a huge packet of these books, and I started to read, and I thought, this is fantastic stuff. This is wonderful place. I started and I built up my Czech again, and then by the 70s, we decided we will go back. So my mother and I started going back in 1975 and went back then every year until 89. Once I walked in Smíchov and I thought, how could I ever meet any of those people whose works I had read? And I happened to meet Pavel Landowski, who is recognizable anywhere. And I went to him and said, Mr. Landowski, I know you because you are an actor and I'm from Canada, but I'm innocuous, but I want to write about the Czech plays that can't be performed anymore. Will you talk to me? That was the beginning, and he looked right through me, you know, and he said, go down, couple of streets down, third house on the left, the door is open, sit down, I'll come back, and then we talk.
In front of us here, we have some of your books, the Vaněk plays, Four Authors, One Character, Critical Essays on Václav Havel, The Silenced Theatre, Czech Playwrights Without a Stage, and Goodbye Samizdat, 20 years of Czechoslovak underground writing. So tell me how these books came about. What made you decide to write in such depth about the Czech theatre and Czech Samizdat movement?
When I had met them, and I had the luck to go and meet Havel in his Hradeček, and I met Ivan Klíma and Kohout and Vaculík, I met them and I realized maybe I can do something for these people, talented, brilliant people who were, Klíma was selling some fish in some by the Vltava, and so
this, just to explain, this was because the communist authorities wouldn't allow them to do the work that they would like to do, yeah. So they pretty much humiliated them by forcing them to do manual labor,
and their writing had to be done secretly, and they never knew whether the police would come, and they were hiding their books, their Samizdat writings, and the police would come and turn the apartments or the house upside down, looking for subversive material. They did not write subversive material. They just wanted to write plays, novels, talking about life as a good writer does, what life is all about.
So tell me a little bit about your friendship with the late former President Václav Havel.
In 1978, they told me that he's in Hradeček now, in his country home, and they said, you can go and visit him now. Václav had been told that I would be coming. He came, and I my heart stopped when I saw him running out of the house, and he threw something at the back of my car. And I thought, what is that? And told me to move into the barn, which I did. And then I looked at the back of the car, and he had thrown just an old sackcloth over the back, because there were already people down, neighbors, you know, quote unquote, that were watching him and checking who was coming. He gave me some Becherovka, and I was as if it were a dream. I told him, look, I have read everything that you have written up to now. And I explained a bit whom I was, which he already knew. They communicated very quickly, the dissidents. And there I was, and stayed overnight. He made a wonderful dinner. You know, it's a treasure in my memory for as long as I live.
That was Markéta Goetz-Stankevič, who spoke to Dominic Yoon in April. And this one-on-one brings us to the end of our show. If you have any comments or questions about today's program, we're always very happy to hear them. So do email us. Our address is english@radio.cz. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter, and all of our programs are always available on our website, radio.cz/en. From all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us. I'm Masha Walensky, and I hope you tune into our program tomorrow. Goodbye for now.